A few years ago, I began to become increasingly aware of the number of religious billboards lining the highway. Billboards condemning evolution, asking the question, "Who is Jesus?" and billboards proclaiming the final judgment and wrath of God. I found myself at first just chuckling as I drove past these signs, blowing them off and making a whole host of assumptions about the communities that are sponsoring them. But the more I think about it, the more I wonder if maybe there's something important about these signs. Maybe they're calling us to think about something that we don't pay attention to all that often. Today's gospel passage from Matthew is the second in a three-part series of parables on expectant waiting. Matthew's writing to a community that is a little troubled that Jesus hasn't come back as quickly as they thought he would. They thought the second coming of the Messiah would be immediate, but it hasn't happened, and they're beginning to worry, and they don't quite know what to do. And so Matthew writes this parable of the 10 bridesmaids, 5 foolish and 5 wise. Now, we have to be told that they are wise and foolish because on the surface, they don't look all that different. We don't hear that some are dressed appropriately and some aren't. So we can assume that they all have on the appropriate garments and their bridesmaids' dresses and everything that they're supposed to be wearing. They've got their lamps. They are waiting. They are there when they're supposed to be, for when the bridegroom comes with his bride to the marriage feast. And they wait, and they wait, and they wait some more, and he doesn't come. He is delayed, and they all fall asleep. Well, finally, the announcement comes. The bridegroom is coming. They wake up, and they go to get their lamps ready. But some don't have enough oil to do so. And so when they ask to share, there's not enough. So they've got to go off to find that 24/7 convenience store to get some new oil. And while they're out searching for that great 7-Eleven, the bridegroom comes. And he welcomes the 5 wise bridesmaids into the wedding feast. And the 5 foolish are left behind. And you can almost imagine it when they arrive back and they see their companions are gone. They go to the door and they start banging, "Lord, Lord." And he says, "Truly, I don't know you." And they're left out and they don't get to join in that great feast. This story is one about preparation, about being prepared. And I have to say, I find it a bit troubling sometimes. As a student, I am totally overwhelmed by the amount of work I have and don't always prepare as much as I should. And so sometimes I think I've done just enough for what I have to do. I've got enough for that anticipated timeline. But when things change, it gets a little scary and there's no 24/7 convenience store to figure out things for seminary. But I think despite all of that, there's still hope in this lesson. You see, that's the problem with those billboards. They don't rely on hope. When they are proclaiming the wrath and final judgment of God, they are playing to fear, shame, and guilt. And it seems to me that's an unhelpful and unhealthy way to enter into this relationship with God, to begin Christian belief and practice. Lucky for us, we've got a great guide of how we are to prepare and live in this world, how we're to keep our oil stocks full so we can get those lamps relit. It's what we affirmed just 1 week ago. It's our baptism. Last week, and every time we affirm our baptismal vows, we proclaim some really serious promises. We promise to uphold the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of the bread and the prayers. We promise to continue to learn, to study, to work through those hard stuff of faith, to grow into a deeper knowledge and love of God. We promise to come together in community, to do this together. This is too hard to do alone. We promise to pray and support one another in good times and bad, through joy and through sorrow. We promise to gather at this altar, to come week by week to be fed and nourished with the most important feast we will ever participate in, to be nourished and strengthened by the body and blood of Christ. We promise to pray together. And we go on and we promise to strive for justice and peace in the world, to take all of those things that we put between us and them and break them down. So that no matter how much we don't like, we disagree, and we can't stand someone else, we will work to make sure that they know they are beloved children of God. Now, this is all really hard stuff, and we also promise that we know we're going to fall short. We're not always going to get it right. We're going to sin. And so we promise to repent and to change our ways and go back to that which is our focus, to that which we've been called to do in our baptism. These are all of the ways that we prepare, that we participate in expectant waiting. These are all the ways that we keep our oil stock full, because we know that we cannot rely on what we've already got. We've got to keep working, keep trying, keep going further into that relationship with the Most Holy. This isn't about some holy scorecard or report card or a bunch of good deeds we can check off. This isn't about earning our way into the kingdom of heaven. This is about what we do in the here and now, being prepared for this world. This world can be a dark and scary place. You only need to turn on the news for a few minutes to see that. But if we live this life we've been called to, we will keep our lamps bright and bring light and hope and joy to this place we've been called to. Friends, I hope you will join me in prayer, in study, in this wonderful community that we've gathered in, to continue to work and support one another in living into our baptism. Because when we do, our lamps will be lit and ready for when the bridegroom comes, and we will take our place in the best party we will ever be invited to. Amen.